This is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a good day and a good week and a good month. And yeah, I know the last time I posted a podcast, I was probably talking about Halloween, and today is November 13th. I've had a couple of stressful weeks at work, and I haven't been able to record a podcast. Stressful in this way. It's been really busy. So there's work stress, but it's not in a bad way, right? It doesn't feel like overwhelming. It was just very busy. And things continued from there. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. I have the link to my Facebook group in the show notes. As well as, if you want to buy me a coffee for Christmas, that would be great. I'll explain why I need you guys, or would really appreciate, not need. I appreciate everything, and I'm grateful for it. But one of the stressors I have, my little, he's 12 years old, my kitty cat. He's been sick for a little while, and we just thought he would get better. He was having stomach issues. I'll leave it there. And he didn't get better. And this Saturday, this is Monday morning. I don't work Mondays. He was in a lot of distress on Saturday evening. And we had to take him to an urgent care vet clinic, which who knew there even existed such a, it wasn't an animal hospital, it's an urgent care pet clinic, which, you know, I've been to urgent care for myself, never knew that there was such a place for cats and dogs and all sorts of animals, right? So anyway, we had to take him there, and it's cost us $1,000, and we have to take him to the vet next week to follow up, because they gave him medication, and so who knows what the end cost is going to be at the end of all of this. And I don't know if you guys have been through this, but do you guys get, like things happen right around the holidays where you have, you unplanned money has to be spent, and then, you know, the holidays become a little bit more of a stressful thing. Even though I'm working, that money, I work part-time. I'm not working full-time, right? And it's not by choice at this point. I want to see, this is my issue, and maybe some of you can relate to this. In the past, I have left jobs that I've been happy at, searching for more money, higher positions, and I've actually gotten more money in a higher position and hated the place I worked and quit. And that has been an issue. That's been one of my issues with working. So I don't want to do this now. I want to stay here for a while because I am happy there. And I'm hoping that eventually either this position will go full time or I'll have another opportunity there for a full time position. So I'm sending it out to the universe, and hopefully it'll come back, right? So, yeah, my poor Puffy is not, he's better. He's not in distress anymore, but he's still, you know, it's only been 2 days since we took him to the urgent care. Okay. So this topic that I'm going to talk about today, I've never talked about before. So this is a unique podcast, which is kind of hard because I have over 200, maybe 300 podcasts at this point. This podcast is about And I'm going to entitle it something like, is your life literally messy, right? Because that's what I want to talk about. Not cleanliness, but neatness in the house. I probably have never talked about this, in part because of my shame attached to it. But I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to be frank the way I always am with you guys, in the hopes that if you're in a similar situation, that you can relate, right? And no, you're not alone, and that this is something that is probably a way for us to cope with certain things. So I believe I've read that this can go one of two ways. You either become a super perfectionist in every area of your life when you've been raised by a toxic parent, and then everything in your house is super spick and span, and you know, everything is super clean all the time, and you spend all your time just cleaning, or you go the other way and everything is a disaster, a mess, right? And if you're the first one, it's because you were always striving to make your parent, your mother, happy and do what she wanted and imitate her so that she would accept you and love you. And then, so you went overboard with the cleaning, right? Your house was always perfect. Maybe her house was always perfect. That was my mother. My mother had the perfect house, right? It was always super clean. The decor wasn't my taste, but it was decorated. She liked antiques, and I'm not an antique person. I don't like antiques. That's just my preference. But she had, you know, in the apartment we lived in New York, she had that filled to the brim with furniture, and we come here and I figured, okay, they're gonna have more space in this house and not fill it, you know, not have everything so packed that you had to turn sideways to get to different places in the house. But no, she did the same thing. She packed this house as well. She had one china cabinet in New York. Here she had two. She had one in the living room, one in the dining room, and the dining room area was very, very tight. So whenever we had, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that's coming up, that's what it looked like. It was difficult to sit on the other side of the table, and when you were sat down, that was it. You weren't moving again. It was not fun. I mean, it's not a big deal in hindsight, but her house was like that. It was packed and it was very neat. Now, me, on the other hand, I was a teenager and my room was always messy. When she yelled at me to clean it, I cleaned it, and then it would become messy again. And that's it. When I got married, I didn't change. Things did not change. I thought getting married for the first time when I got married in 1997. Yes, back in the 1900s, I got married. It's crazy to hear that, you know, that things happened in the 1900s. That wasn't that long ago, but okay. And nothing changed when I got married. I was still messy, right? How can I explain it? The bottom of my bed is full of clothes and empty bags of snacks, and I'm not a hoarder. I don't have a problem throwing things away, and I throw things away all the time. I'm not collecting anything. It just is what it is. My makeup is everywhere. It's in my daughter's room, it's in the bathroom, and it's everywhere. The living room, there's so much stuff on the, you know, coffee table that we can't see it. And that's, I think, part of my trauma, right? So in some respects, I was trying to be the perfect daughter, right? I was always the straight A student. I was always good in school. I never once got in trouble. I mean, I did once, but it wasn't a big deal. I was talkative, and in third grade, I got in trouble for talking in reading class. And I got punished by the teacher, but I had to stand by the windowsill with the other person I was talking to, so that didn't work out so well. Funny story, right? And I loved that teacher. I loved her. She was a good teacher. Anyway, I was always that kid. You know, I did everything right. She had put in my head certain things about my sexuality and how sex was a sin, so I didn't have sex until I graduated from high school. And I know that there were girls that were having sex. I had proof. There were two that got pregnant when we were juniors. I always did the right thing. And I know a lot of you probably spent your lives striving to be perfect, to do what you thought was right to make the narcissistic mother happy. But this is the problem with doing that. When you think that you've reached that place, I got 100 on the test and I have straight A's on my report card and whatever it was, they move the goal. They move that to the point where you can never reach it because, well, it's impossible. They give you impossible standards and they're random. That's another thing. They're random standards. You know, so they force you to have good, you have to have, your grades have to be perfect, right? You can't have a B. I've said this story before, where I was graduating from the eighth grade and I had one B in history. And my mother said that she didn't know if she was going to go to my graduation because of that B. And lo and behold, when I was processing into the auditorium, there was only 13 of us graduating. Why? Because it was my high school, so the junior high, or it's called middle school now, but it was junior high back then, or at least in the Northeast. There wasn't a large group of girls, and they got rid of the junior high years later. Anyway. When I was going into the auditorium, you know, processing in, my parents were not there. They got there late. And again, getting there late was a sign of you don't matter to us. It was her way of telling me you don't matter to me. And I'll never forget that. That was extremely hurtful. I'm surprised they went to my senior year graduation and they were there from the beginning because the boyfriend that she hated was there. Him and his brother and my friend were all at my graduation and my parents were there on time that time. And my grades were not perfect because I put a boundary in ninth grade where I did just enough to keep her off my back, but I didn't strive for better. And that ended up hurting me. In the long run, it ended up hurting me, not her. But I didn't want that stress that I had because she had these random, I guess it's not random to want your kid to, or to say, you know, I want you to have good grades, but I had good grades. What she wanted me was to have perfect grades, and that's not possible because we're human. So I believe, with me personally, that, oh, there's my puffy, he's yelping. Grades. So that I put a boundary down when I went to high school and I said, I'm not going to allow this to happen anymore. And I did just barely enough. And I don't know if any of you were that way. Some of you might have continued the perfectionism while some of you may have gone completely the other way. I didn't do that. I didn't go completely the other way where I was failing because I knew I'd be taken out of my school, and I didn't, you know, that was a threat that she had over my head, that she was going to put me in a boarding school or switch me to public school, or different threats depending on her mood or her day of the week, right? So I did just enough to stay in the honors program, but I did not strive or do very much to keep my grades, you know, A's, all A's, which I could have easily done because I was smart and I was good at school. But I didn't want to do that. So I believe that that's what I have always done. And she's gone now. And I look at this situation and I think to myself, I don't want to live like this anymore, in a mess. Instead of everything being tidy and clean and just normal, it's, my house is a mess. And why do I do that? Well, it gets to the point where you're like, okay, it's so much that I can't do anything. I know that my husband and I have to get down and start organizing soon because it's getting out of hand. And again, when something goes wrong, like with our puffy, our kitty cat, then it's even worse, right? You feel down and then things get, you don't care. You care even less about things like that. But I believe that's what has caused me to be this way. And I don't like it. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, right? It's like I said before, some of us, we have all dealt with our traumas in a different way. We've either gone way, 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 way into perfectionism or way, 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 way into, I want to be the complete opposite of what my mother was, right? And that's what's happened to me. And I'm not happy about it. There's so many things that I'm not happy about that I want to change. This is not a podcast where I can give you much advice on it. Except in this situation, I feel I just have to take the steps to start organizing the house and keeping the promises to myself that I've said I was going to do, because that's one of my big issues too, is that I promise myself I'm going to do this and I don't do it. And then comes the internal lashing of myself, right? You're a horrible person. You never do what you say you're going to do. You're a loser. Your internal mother is in there telling you these things. And it's not the case. You're not a bad person. We are, as my therapist put it, doing the best that we can, right? We're doing the best that we can. I love that. I had an EMDR session this past Friday because I have health anxiety and I am panicking that I'm going to be in the car in the morning, I'm going to get a stomach ache, and I'm not going to be able to get out of the car and go into a pharmacy, into the bathroom, because the traffic is horrendous right now. Because I live in the part of Florida that everybody's going to now, even though I'm not in Miami or Fort Lauderdale. This is now the upcoming place, and every year it's getting worse. The traffic is getting worse, and they didn't build this place for the amount of people that are here. So we're working on that. And one of the things that she said to me is, I'm doing the best I can. That's what she's trying to instill in me, is I'm doing the best I can. Because I would say 90% of the issue is not my actual stomach. It's me worrying about having a stomach ache and then causing the stomach ache from the anxiety. If you can understand, some of you might be able to. And then it's the lashing you know, lashing out. This happened to me on October 5th, the day that my daughter came down from Michigan. That morning, I didn't know she was coming, by the way. This had nothing to do with her coming. It just happens that it was that day. I remember I was in the morning, my stomach didn't feel well. I got in the car and I had to stop at the Walgreens near here and go to use their bathroom. And while I was in the bath, you know, when I came out of the bathroom is when I started really, oh, here we go again. You're such a loser. You can't even get to work without this happening. And that's internal negative thinking. And we have to stop doing that, right? And the same thing with the house. It's like, look at the house. It's a mess. You're not even a real adult. You can't be responsible. Look at everything. And you know what? It might not be the neatest house on the block. I also work outside the house, which I've been to some houses, but the person works at home, so they have the capability of being home. Now, not to excuse my behavior when I wasn't working, right? Because when I wasn't working, I wasn't cleaning either. When I wasn't working, looking back at it, I was in a deep depression, right? If I got out of bed and went to the kitchen once during the day, I considered it a good day because I didn't spend the whole day in bed. That's not a good day, okay? I now have an actual busy life where I get up and go to work and come home and do things here. I am tired and I'm still adjusting 5 months later. But just so you guys know, I'm watching Puffy right now grooming himself. That's another symptom he had that we hadn't really picked up on, that he wasn't grooming, and his fur, his long fur, was matted. It's very, very matted. We have to get him to a groomer because he's so matted. But he's grooming himself, which is a good sign. He's grooming himself. Anyway, so I'm doing the best I can, right? And I know I don't believe that 100%. But sometimes we have to fake it till we make it, right? We have to keep saying to ourselves, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. And eventually you'll believe you are doing the best you can. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try and work against whatever it is that you're doing that you don't like. Because if you're unhappy, you should strive for that. You know, I want to strive for a clean house, an orderly house. And that's what I'm going to try and do. That's what I'm going to try and do. And I don't know, because it wasn't like I wasn't forced growing up to clean the house. I mean, that's not true. See, there's my memories of my childhood are so either distorted or wrong, or they're not there. But I did clean when I was a child, and I liked it. I remember liking cleaning. Like, I would clean the coffee table. It was an old 70s. Hey. That's my kitty cat, the other one. She's out. We're outside, and she's scratching where she shouldn't. Old 70s furniture. So it was a marble-topped coffee table and marble-top end tables. And wood, you know, it had wooden legs and stuff. And I liked to clean it. I remember cleaning. But as an adult, it's just been a problem. It's been an issue. And the thing is, once I clean and things look good, I'm so happy, but it just goes right back to the way it was. It's a behavior that I cannot fully change. So I believe that the only way to change a behavior like that is to find the root cause of the behavior, which in our case is going to be, guess what? You know, it's a mommy issue. And then work on that issue before you can even begin to work on the actual issue itself, right? So for me, it's I want my house to be in order. For you, it could be something completely different, right? We all have different things that we do that we don't like. And we don't know how to stop or how to start. In my case, really, like how to start being cleaner and neater, right? I'm clean when it comes to my body. I'm very clean, right? Showers every day, makeup, you know, that's not my issue. My issue is with the house and my car. Like, I'm messy. At work, I try to be very neat. I don't want to come off as, oh, look at her office. It's disgusting. But my house is not. It's a mess. And that causes other issues too. And maybe that is the issue. I mean, I've learned with EMDR that there's all you do things for a root cause. And I'm kind of discovering this now, and this happens all the time. And maybe if you talked, right? I'm talking to you. If you talked about your issue, maybe you'd come up with why. So sometimes we have behaviors that protect us from something. And if my house is a mess, I don't have to invite people over. I'm wondering if the reason that I always keep the house this way is so that I don't have to invite anyone over. You know, I grew up, honestly, I don't remember people coming over very often. During holidays, yes, but the rest of the time, my dad, and this was my father, not my mother, my dad didn't want people to come over. And I know it was him, because I remember him saying that. You know, he didn't like to socialize with my mother's friends. Like, who could blame him on that one, right? So maybe that's my issue. It's the issue of I don't want people to come over. So I'm going to keep my house a mess so I don't have to invite people over. And then my husband actually feels the same way. He grew up in the kind of the same situation of not having people over. And he's like, I don't want people around. So what I'm saying here is that he sometimes helps with the mess in the house, right? And I guess we have to break that habit together. Say, we can have a clean house and not have people over. Right? So maybe that's it. Maybe that's why. Right? This may be a shorter podcast than usual because I do have some things to do before next week. And I have to take my, we have to plan to take my, the cat back to, well, to his vet next week. The day before Thanksgiving is the appointment because they had no other appointment. And there's other challenges coming around the bend with Thanksgiving. And I'm going to do a Thanksgiving podcast, believe me. I will make the time to make it. But I'm feeling really pulled in every direction right now. I mean, just the cat alone, we have to give him 2 different pills at different times. Give him this probiotic mush twice a day. And special food. So it's all day long. We're feeding him, doing something with him. And it's creating a little bit of stress. I think the probiotic mush is only 3 days. And then we're giving him prednisone at night. It's just been a lot. That's all I'm going to say. It's been a lot, and I hope things turn around, because I feel that sometimes things all happen at once, and right around the holidays usually is when I feel the most stressed out, and I am feeling stressed out. I am. So even though my dad is not in my life and my mother passed away, there are other stressors. There are always going to be stressors, and we have to learn to be okay with that and say, well, this is what I have to do right now. Right? And that's I am there, but I am feeling it. I woke up this morning and I didn't feel well. My stomach didn't feel good. That's usually where I feel my anxiety. And then my body tells me too. My body's like, nope, don't get out of bed. Just stay there and do nothing. And I know that's not good. So I'd say, and you see that I pause. That is my, disassociation. So you guys understand, I haven't talked about disassociation a lot, but that's what happens. My brain just goes away. Doesn't want to talk about it, think about it, and it goes away, and I can't talk. I want to make a joke, an inappropriate joke right now, about a certain politician that stopped talking a few times on live television, right? But my situation is disassociating, because I don't want to deal with what's happening. And I know that's something you've all had. If you were raised by a toxic parent, we are masters at disassociating, right? The good thing is when I'm at work, I can focus really well at work. But when I'm at home, I very easily disassociate, and I don't want to. I want to be able to focus, but that's what's happening. Anyway, I'm going to end it here. I love you guys very, very much. And I hope that you have a fantastic holiday season. This is called Hallowgivesmas, although the Hallow part has already passed. There are people who already have their trees up. I ordered a tree on Walmart, actually. It wasn't through Amazon, because I don't trust the Amazon trees. I look at, they put this really beautiful picture, and then you look at the pictures that people have put up, and they're not even similar. But, and I hope, though, I get lucky with the Walmart one. We needed a new tree, and every year we say it, and we don't have enough money, and even though we had to spend $1,000, I said, this is something I need this year, because my daughter is home. She's home for good. And at least for good for now, she's not going to be going back to where she was. I will eventually talk about what happened to her, but she was in a bad situation in Michigan. And I bought a Christmas tree, so that'll be coming on next Monday. And hopefully I will be in the Christmas spirit, and maybe that's when I'll clean my house for that point, right? I'll have the long weekend. Well, I always have a long weekend, but my husband will also have it, and maybe we'll take some time to organize things and put up the Christmas tree and have Christmas music playing in the background. And I hope that you guys can do that too, if you have the same aversion to the holidays that I've always had, or I've had since I was about 15. I love you guys, and I will do the holiday podcast, I promise you, because I know getting together, some of you may be listening to this going, why are you talking about this and not the holidays? I was doing the dishes, and it occurred to me. That's what it was. But I will do the Thanksgiving and how to handle Thanksgiving. But you want a preview? You don't have to do anything. And I'm actually in a sticky wicket right now with Thanksgiving myself. You guys will love this story. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Remember, you're adults. So if you're obligated for some reason, you don't have to do it. And you know what? I just told myself that. But I agreed to go somewhere first, and I have to go because I agreed to it. All right. So I love you guys, and until next time.